Hello, Queen's Club. Can you all hear me okay? Can you see me okay? Give me a thumbs up. Anything awesome? Awesome. How is everyone today? I'm going to change. How do I change my name? I said I'm going to change my name. So you know who I am. We are. Maybe it's right here. Yeah, here we go. I am Coach Kathy. I am here. Hello. I am here to sub in for Corinne. She was looking for a sub today, and I'm just thrilled to step in and be with my Queen's Club people. Today is open coaching. We will be here for around an hour. I'm going to promote Coach Ashley, who will be talking to you in the Q&A, and she will be in the chat in all caps. You guys are pros at this, I'm sure. So come on up, Coach Ashley. If your hand is raised, I will call your name. I will invite you up as a panelist to be on screen with me while we coach. Ashley, did that not bring you up? Is Zoom going to be a jackass today, y'all? Let's try again. All right, Coach Ashley. So far, I have four hands raised. So check, make sure you mean for your hand to be raised, and we will get started. We'll get started. Shannon, you're first. Shannon. There she comes. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Excited.
Yay. What are we coaching on? I'm excited too. What are we coaching on?
I'm gonna get real emotional. That's just how I get.
Me too. You cry, I cry. It's just how it works.
this is my first live ever. So I usually just watch replays. So I jumped on, raised my hand real fast.
Well, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank
Tell me
you.
what I can help you with.
So I'm a mom of two little toddlers, and I'm finding myself getting really triggered during preparing for meal times. I find like I get hangry, like really hungry, and I just like lose it really easily. And I've noticed this before. I had kids too, but like ever since having kids, I've had major anxiety and rage and just a lot of extra feelings, and hard time regulating. And I just don't like it. I don't like who I am, and it scares me. And I just want to work on it. And I'm in counseling. Working through my postpartum anxiety and that kind of stuff. But I wanted to come do coaching. And so I was like, okay, let me figure out something involving food, right? And so I've done really good in the program listening to enough signals. I can stop it enough, no problem. I don't really overeat in that sense at all, but it's the like finding when I'm hungry, I think I can't figure that out. And I always get to a point where I'm starving.
Okay. So it sounds to me like there are two different things we can talk about here. And you tell me if I'm wrong, okay?
Okay.
The first is you need to react to hunger a little bit sooner than you do before you get to hangry. But the second is it sounds like when you combine being hunger with an emotional trigger, your nervous system activates. And you get anxious, you get hangry, you get, a little bit, I think the term we use in OBS is above home base. Have
Okay.
you heard that term before?
Haven't
Where
heard
you're
that one.
okay. So if home base is like homeostasis, everything's cool, we're just all good. but we get a little bit of a stressor applied to our lives, and we get a little anxious, we get upset, hangry. It's kind of like homeostasis goes away and our nervous system activates, mm-hmm. and we get a little stressed out.
Right.
Does that sound like what's happening?
Yes.
So which one do you want to work on?
I think the being above home base.
Okay. Okay. So for those of you on the call that have not taken the Trusting Your Body course, that's where Jane and Corinne go into talking about being above home base and below home base. And basically what that means is your nervous system is like activated. So you're having some kind of, I'll just call it like a stress response, like you're triggered into anxiety or something like that. And below home base means you just kind of functionally disconnect. Okay. So you're definitely above home base when it comes to dinner time with your toddlers, right? So tell me what's happening. You go in a little hungry, and then what's happening around you that activates your anxiety?
Okay. So for example, let's see, I'm doing potty training with my youngest one. She's like a year and a half, a little bit more than a year and a half. And so the other morning, I'm trying to get breakfast ready. And so we usually get up, and breakfast is usually sometime between 9 and 9:30. And I felt like, okay, like this is an awesome day. I have my kids helping make pancakes. Like I each gave them jobs. They did an amazing job. And then the little one says, I need to go potty. And I say, okay, let's go potty. And we go, we sit on the potty, and she takes like five times of going to sit on the potty before she actually goes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like trying to balance, I need to go potty and honoring her body and listening to her and making sure she gets there in time and making breakfast. And so I'm like, okay, we got the pancakes made, or I have like the stove on now and the stove's on and the pancakes are on the griddle. And she goes, I need to go potty. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And we go potty and nothing comes. And we come back and I flip the pancakes and I need to go potty. Okay, let's go. And she finally like poops, and I'm like, yay, hooray, you pooped in the potty. Like, that's super amazing. And I'm trying to clean her up, and she's being a toddler, trying to get out of the bathroom before I can clean her up. And I could smell my pancakes burning. And I was just like trying so hard not to scare her out of potty training by getting frustrated. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to like burn my house down. And in my head, it's those two extreme situations where if I overreact, my kid's never going to use the toilet, or my house is going to burn down. And it's like, okay, no, in the middle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you thinking when all this is going on and the anxiety level is increasing? What's going on in your mind? What are you thinking?
I was thinking, I need to get to my pancakes, but I need to clean my baby up, and I can't do both things at once. And my attention was just like totally divided. Okay. And I didn't know which priority, you know, which one to choose, or, mm-hmm. I mean, I knew which one to choose was obviously cleaning up the baby, but yeah. At the same time, like, but I can't let my house burn down. I don't know. It's hard. It's so hard.
So the thought that's creating the stress is I can't do both things at once. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can, and maybe you can't, but identifying what's going on in your mind that creates the frustration, that's elevating your heartbeat, that's creating the anxiety, sometimes is very helpful to see. Okay. So your reaction to, I can't do both things at once. And you actually said, I know what to do. Right? That's a follow-up thought as you reflect back. But in that moment, you're pretty well paralyzed with, you know, back and forth and running back and forth, right? And trying to regulate without scaring your daughter, mm-hmm. you know, without, and trying to address everything without scaring her out of potty training.
Right.
So in that moment, what do you think you can do or think that takes the temperature down a little bit? Do you have any tools, any ideas that you're learning as you move through this?
So I'm learning like breath work is a big
Mm-hmm.
deal, like taking a big deep breath. My counselor also said like stop and take a drink of water. Like drinking water can be a really good like cleansing way to like stop yourself from reacting, but also like cleansing it out of you. But I don't think that's always an option. I think if I can remember to just like take a breath, pause, like it's not as catastrophic as you're making it. It'll be okay. And like that usually does help me calm down in the moment. It's just I have to remember to do that.
Yeah, sure. This is all very fascinating to me, and I don't believe it's a coincidence that you're on this call today, because I just took my second class of 12 or 24 or however many in nervous system resilience. Okay. And we're talking about right now the science of what's going on in your body when you're above home base. And it's fascinating that you showed up on my call first. Okay.
Awesome.
I mean, it really is because what you're experiencing is very normal. You know, you've got a stressor. And you apply learning to it, and then you have a reaction to it with your thoughts, and then it shows up in your body as anxiety, right? And this is the reaction that you have. So then the next step is to figure out how to bring all this together, slow yourself down so you can manage both areas. Because, I mean, goodness knows how many moms are on this call or listening to the replay that have had something like this happen, where we've got multiple kids doing multiple things, or even at work when we're being pulled on in different areas. You know, somebody wants this, somebody else needs that. So, managing to bring yourself back down into that home base so that you can manage all the things is so key. So, I'm going to tell you something that I do, and you can tell me if this is something that you do or if you've even tried it before.
Okay.
Take both hands and put them right here, right? Almost like above your bra, but really over your heart, and press in just a little bit. Okay. What you're doing here is you are, it's almost like giving yourself a hug. It's pressing into that area of your body that needs comfort, that needs safety. And then when you take a deep breath and you say, I'm safe, it's all okay, the house isn't burning down. The toddler pooped. It's all going to be okay. You know, it's like taking a drink of water, taking a pause, but you can do this while you're rushing through the house. You can press in right now. And if everyone on this call does this and thinks about how comforting this feeling, does it feel comforting to you when you do this?
I can feel it in my, like when we were talking, my heart was like pounding and my throat felt tight. And then I'm doing this and yeah, I can feel just warmth.
Yes. Describe it to me. When you press in just a little bit and you take a deep breath, describe to me what happens to your nervous system.
It just, my heart, I can feel my heart, but it's not pounding the way it was. It's softening, but I and my throat is less tense, I guess, and it feels warm. It feels comforting, like you said. It's slowing things down.
Yeah. So it's bringing you from a level of nervousness back down to whatever your, I keep using the word homeostasis, whatever your normality is for you. Okay. I also want you to think about this while you're pressing in. Why wouldn't it be normal for you to have a little bit of reaction to having pancakes and poop going on at the same time? Right? You're a mom of toddlers. Of course, you're going to get a little agitated. You're going to be pulled in different directions when we've got poop and pancakes going on at the same time. Right? Can you find a place where that's okay in your mind?
It's okay. It's
Why would it be okay?
okay because that's what moms do. We handle business. Yeah. We make breakfast, we potty train, we do all the things.
And is it also okay to feel pulled in that moment? To feel, you know, indecision, frustration, anxious in that moment when you're trying to manage things?
It is. It's okay to feel those things.
Is it?
I don't know. I guess this whole time of me being in counseling, I'm just trying to fix it so it's not there, so it goes away.
Yeah. What if it's okay to feel those things and to react anyway and to manage it anyway? I'm going to tell y'all, Coach Julie is a genius. She has taught me that there are no feelings that are not okay. Your feelings are relevant and valid all the time. And when you can lean into them and be okay with them, then you're not layering on this little piece of judgment that I shouldn't be feeling this way. I should be a better mom. I should handle this better. All those shoulds come in on the back end, don't they? Yeah. Well, yeah. Who wouldn't be a little anxious with poop and pancakes going on at the same time? Maybe that is okay.
It is okay.
Yeah. And maybe that actually makes you a good mom because you're handling both, even though you feel a little anxious about both of them.
And you say it, I could say the same thing to my kids. I try to teach them, you know, I try to validate their feelings and tell them it's okay to have these things and help them work through their feelings. But I don't have the ability to say it to myself, I guess.
And that's just probably just because you haven't decided that it's okay. You haven't practiced being okay with feeling anything. Let's just think about it for a minute. When you're anxious, just close your eyes and tell me what it feels like in your body when you're anxious.
Mm-hmm. My heart just boom, 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 boom. And my throat gets tight. And my shoulders feel tense.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like I could just like throw up, but it's not in my stomach. It's all here.
Okay. Now think of a time where you were like really excited, like something amazing just happened. What does that feel like?
Just like tears of joy and happiness, and it just like flows, just flows.
Does your heart beat?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get tense in your muscles?
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar in a lot of ways to feeling anxious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people get so excited they throw up,
yeah.
Right? So a feeling is basically what's going on in your body in response to what's going on around you or what you're thinking, okay? And feelings can be, what becomes intolerable is what we're saying to ourselves, not actually the feeling in our body. If anxiety and excitement are very similar, why wouldn't we want to feel anxiety? We're good with feeling excitement, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can neutralize the feeling and we can go after what you're thinking and the judgment you have about what you're feeling, then things are going to improve for you. Does that make sense?
It does until you say neutralize.
All right. Well, let's use normalize instead.
Normalize. I like normalize because I can find the normal in things a lot. It's that like neutralizing and just finding the fact about it that I struggle with.
Okay. So we'll start with normalize. You can normalize being a little anxious and frustrated when you have poop and pancakes at the same time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And tell me what that sounds like when we normalize that. Tell me, give me that in your words.
It's normal to feel anxious and pulled in different directions when you have two different things going on that both need your attention at once. And it's normal to not be able to give your full attention to both things. And it's normal to feel stressed about that.
Yeah, 100%. So neutralizing that situation is super easy. The facts are, we got a 18-month-old who's pooping and needs a cleanup, and we got pancakes on the griddle. That's it. It's the facts. Everything else above that, your reaction, your feelings, your thoughts, how you judge yourself because of your feelings and your thoughts, all that doesn't go in the neutralize area, y'all, because those aren't facts. It's all story, belief, thoughts around what's going on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see we're doing the four ends here?
Yeah.
So knowing this, knowing that it's normal, neutralizing down to poops and pancakes, what do you think your next best thought or action would be next time you're given a circumstance similar to poops and pancakes?
To allow myself that feeling to say it's okay to feel anxious about this. Take a breath. You can do both, just not at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. We can accomplish both things here. We just got to figure out which one is the most important to tackle first.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, right? And then you create safety for yourself. If you're feeling dysregulated or activated or whatever term you want to use for being above home base, you just bring yourself back into safety. It's all okay. I'm a good mom. Poops and pancakes are just the sea line. I've got this. You know, I think I'll go after, you know, clean up the baby first. And then there's always more Bisquick, right?
And I'm not going to burn the house down.
Right. It's just a pancake. It's going to be okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yeah, that helps.
So when you talked about, we're going to circle back to hangry for just a second. When you talked about being hangry,
mm-hmm.
is that just how you've connected being a little bit hungry with getting anxious about what's going on? Or do you really have trouble finding hunger signals?
I think it's how I react when I feel hungry and I can't get food into me fast enough. And then I'm pulled in different directions. And it's a reaction thing that I'm working on. So I do struggle with the hunger signals though, because like, I feel like I go from, oh, maybe I'm hungry to like, I'm starving and I need to eat now without a lot of other stuff in between. And I know Corinne says, if you feel like, oh, I think I'm hungry, go eat. But I like my brain or like my past dieting rules or everything tells me like, no, if you eat when you think you're hungry, you're going to be eating all the time. You can't just eat when you're hungry. Like you have to wait a little bit. Like you have to actually be hungry, not just think you're hungry.
So and do you want to follow past diet rules or Corinne's advice?
Well, so far, everything else she says works. So, you know, yeah. Maybe I should just listen to her.
I think, she called it when I was growing up with Corinne, she called it the whisper of hunger. So maybe this will help you. Okay. It's not really I wonder if I'm hungry yet. It's more like, and I think I'm feeling a little hungry. Okay. It's not a wonder if I'm hungry. Otherwise, you know, those of us that wonder if we're hungry all the time will eat all the time. You're right. But it's actually doing like a check and going, you know what? I think I'm a little hungry. That's the whisper of hunger. When you talk about going from, I think I'm a little hungry, to ravenous, there's probably some urgency in there. And what I mean by urgency, I mean urge. I mean like response, urge response to the trigger. So probably what happens to you is when you get a little anxious, that urge response goes up. That's what I would bet. Okay. So you've taken, I think I'm a little hungry, and added poops and burning pancakes, and it's created urgent hunger. Okay. Because your body is looking for a way to regulate, and it likely knows that in the past you've regulated with food. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So there's physical hunger and there's emotional hunger. And what's happening for you, it sounds like you have a whisper of physical hunger that jumps right into emotional hunger when you add anxiety and urgency.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. So that's where hangry comes in. That's my teaching moment on hangry, y'all. So when you do feel a whisper of hunger, then yeah, it's okay to eat. I think you have to talk to that diet mentality part of your brain that says, I'm not going to eat all the time. You know, that tells you all, you know, whatever. You just answer it with, no, this is really physical hunger and it's okay to eat. And I'll eat again when I feel physical hunger, not when I'm responding to emotional hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, physiologically, when your body starts to throw up hunger signals, it's ready to eat. It's ready to take in more food so that it can propel you, you know, into your day with energy and focus and all those things you need food for. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That makes sense. How you feeling?
I feel like I can go make some pancakes and handle some poops.
All right. And you have a new tool? You have my little tool, my little create your own safety tool. Take that back to your therapist. See what they say.
Yeah, I like that.
I bet it's called the, for those of y'all who are yogis, it's called the heart chakra.
Mm.
I don't know what that means.
I understand that a little bit.
Yeah. All right. You good?
Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, Michelle Bond, you are next. Here she comes. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What you got? What you got today?
Yeah. I am being really judgmental with myself.
Okay.
So I lost my weight eating the foods that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really held on to certain foods that nutritionally aren't very sound, right? But I love them and I found a way to lose weight and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've lost all my weight. I'm in maintenance and I'm judging those foods. Like, I shouldn't be eating them. I should eat healthier foods. Why am I attached to them? And I feel like there's part of me that really does want to eat healthier foods, right? Have a more nutritious diet. But a lot of it, I think, really comes from judgment.
So did you have those judgments while you were losing weight?
A little bit. Yeah.
So they're not new?
No.
Are they more intensified?
Yes.
Why?
There's a lot of shoulds about the health, like health-wise now, like to level up my health and I'm not in bad health, right? But in my mind, I need more nutrients. I need to eat vegetables, which is probably true. Like really, if you look at it, there's some truth to that, but I'm not changing that based on the way I'm thinking about it. Like, you know, I feel like I eat out too much and I, you know, don't eat healthy foods. And yeah.
Why is your brain telling you that you need to level up now that you're in maintenance?
I think there's a fear of gaining the weight back, probably. Yeah.
That's probably the crux of it. So how can we normalize that fear?
I mean, I've never been in maintenance before. This is the first time. So there's probably a lot of irrational fears or rational fears that I have, both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you okay with that? Or are you judging that?
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay.
All right. So if we're noticing that you have this judgment around the need to level up, and we normalize it by saying, yeah, we've never, you know, we're in maintenance now. We want to stay here, and we've never been able to stay here before, so we need to really buckle down, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would you neutralize it?
I think, I mean, I got myself here, right? Like, I'm obviously doing something right. I have good habits. I think besides the foods I judge, I have pretty good habits that got me where I'm at.
Okay. So you have XYZ habits. You're in maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's the first
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what do you want to think about these foods? What do you think the next best think about these foods is?
That's tougher, because immediately I want to still judge them. I want to tell you that, nope, I don't need them. I need to stop eating them.
This is a flaw I see in a lot of people's 4Ns. So y'all pay attention. Many times in the 4Ns, you want to jump to, I want to be okay with eating anything, or I want to level up and not judge myself. You know, that's all okay. I'm going to level up and not judge myself, except you don't know how to get there yet. It's mm-hmm. like you've jumped 14 steps instead of just opened the door into the new way of thinking. So maybe for you, it's, I'm open to examining the kinds of foods I want to eat, can eat, don't want to eat while I'm in maintenance. I'm open to assessing every week how I feel, what my weight is, how I've reacted to different kinds of foods now that I'm in maintenance. You see what I'm saying? So if you're sometimes the next best thought or action is just, I'm open to learning, or I'm curious about this, or I see myself judging. I don't want to judge, but I do want to learn. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the next best thought or action can actually wiggle into what you ultimately want. All right. So for you, does it feel judgy, or does it feel curious about where to go with your maintenance journey?
Curious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how does curious feel compared to judgy?
Curious is where it feels good, because that's what I lost weight. That's like when I first started losing weight, I switched into curiosity and really focused on curiousness. So it feels comforting to be curious.
Mm-hmm. Feels very open and expansive, don't you think? To be curious.
Absolutely.
So how can you make, I shouldn't eat this, you know, like a thought that leads to judgment. How can you swap that into a thought that leads to curious?
I don't know. Like, I guess curious, like I could be curious about how I feel, like, after eating it, like, mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, how this feels in my body. I'm curious how not having it feels in my body, right? Because I eat it every single day, like, certain things. Like, mm-hmm. what if I tried something different out of curiosity, not, mm-hmm. you know, being forced because it's better?
Yeah. So it might be a shift from, I shouldn't eat this, to, I wonder what it'll feel like to swap this out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell y'all, the words you use to talk to yourself make all the difference. I am constantly, and I'm sure Ashley is too, talking to my clients, my private clients, about using the right words. When they talk to themselves about different things, about different people, about their food, about their plans, it is all so important because what you say, your brain hears. What you think, your brain will put on repeat. So if you come in saying, man, I should not eat fried chicken anymore because I am now in maintenance, your brain is going to be like, uh-oh, that's restriction. Why not? Maintenance must be a bad thing because we can't eat fried chicken now. Or if you come in and say, you know what? I think I want to try baked chicken today. Your brain's going to be like, okay, wonder what baked chicken is like. See the difference? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's totally different. So always, always, everyone on this call, everyone who's listening on the replay, always think about how you talk to yourself because you're creating all these feelings based on thoughts that you don't even vocalize. You came in saying you were being judgmental, and we've just kind of opened up the door to curiosity. You might decide, I'm going to tell you something. Mamie, y'all know Mamie, Crin's mom, lost 120 pounds eating fried chicken. She will never give up her fried chicken. She's been in maintenance for, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, something ridiculous. She's not judging her food. She's just eating to enough.
Yeah.
So if you want to be curious about what foods, you know, you kind of mix it up with while you're in maintenance, that's great. But you don't use maintenance as a reason to need to restrict now. Because we didn't teach you how to lose your weight, you know, the way you'll live your life so that you can change everything when you hit maintenance. Because that's going to sabotage you.
Yeah. That makes complete sense.
So tell me what you're thinking now.
I'm thinking that part of me thinks I got this maintenance thing, right? Like I got it. I've been doing it for 4 months. 4 months is longer than I've ever done it. I got it. But there's just that little piece of me that still is like kind of arguing with you, like, no, we have to, you know, exercise more or restrict more. And so I need to listen to it again because there is something you said that really resonated with me, but I can't think of it in this moment to like repeat it back. But I, when you said it, it like an aha went off. So I'm hoping when I hear the replay, but it was something about judging and maintenance or something like that.
What if that voice is just wrong? You ever thought about that?
Oh, I'm wrong a lot. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, y'all, let me just lay a truth bomb on this entire call. Your thoughts aren't always true. Sometimes your brain offers you a fairy tale. And your brain is just nervous because you've never been in maintenance before. You've never done this for 4 months before. So it's like, you know what? Michelle, we've not done this before. You should probably exercise. In fact, you should probably not eat fried chicken because we want to stay here. It's just bringing up old stuff that used to work and offering it to you now. But if you've truly lost weight the way you're going to live your life with all these foods that, you know, now your brain is saying, maybe we should be careful around those, then maybe your brain's just wrong. Maybe that's just I call it a throwaway thought. Maybe that's when you just go, huh, well, that's, you know, other people would call it a BS thought. Other people would call it a thought error, whatever. Maybe your brain's just wrong.
I think what comes up is that, oh my gosh, I just lost it again. It was like, holy cow, it came right in and right out when you were talking. It was, yes, I lost weight eating those foods, right? Like I literally will say I lost all my weight eating only foods I love. I'm, you know, oh, but why do I hold on to them? Like, right? Like, I feel like I'm holding on to them for some reason. If that
You
makes
tell
sense.
me, why do you keep eating them?
Honestly, out of habit, I think, really. It's a habit.
Is
Now
it a
that you
habit?
ask that.
Do you enjoy them?
I mean, I do enjoy them, but it's like they're my go-tos, right? So if I'm like, what should I have for dinner tonight? Oh, I'll have a little mini pizza.
So what's wrong with that?
I tell myself that it's I should cook more, which I never cook, so I eat out a lot. I say I should cook more or I should eat healthier. Those are the two that keep, you know.
Okay. Yet you lost all your weight cooking, not cooking, and eating mini pizzas and whatever else is easy.
Yeah, caramel
If we had
macchiatos
told
and mini
you,
pizza.
how much weight did you lose?
35 pounds.
35 pounds. If we had told you 35 pounds ago, Michelle, you can only lose weight if you eat salads and they have to be really hard to make. Would you have done that? Or would you have
No.
said, see ya, I'm out?
See, that's
So
what I did for
why,
all the years.
yeah, why would we tell you that in maintenance? Why are you telling yourself that? You can only maintain if you eat salads and they have to be really hard to make. They have to take you a lot of time, a whole lot more time than a little mini pizza.
Because I'm making it difficult, way more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
It's just your brain is a little bit nervous right now because it's learning how to do maintenance. And what your previous experience is not lining up with what you actually have learned through No BS. So it's up to you to identify those thoughts and to redirect them and bring them into the current day. Okay. Now that's not what I'm learning. That's in fact, that's not really even how I want to live life because I don't like to cook. So we're just going to practice maintenance doing what we're doing because it's been working for 4 months.
Yeah. I think I lose sight of all the ways I've changed. You know, like I'm at work right now and one of my favorite cookies that my coworker made have been sitting out there for 2 days and I literally have not had the urge to touch one. And I don't celebrate that anymore. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I think
There's
some of
probably an
that would help.
opportunity there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably an opportunity there too. Y'all always take opportunities to celebrate things.
Yeah.
Always.
Thank
You
you.
good? Does that
I'm
help?
good. Thank you. It very much. Thank you.
All right. See
All
ya.
Right. Have a good day.
You
Bye-bye.
too. Okay, Laura. Laura Flack, you are next. Our brains can be tricky, y'all. They can be so tricky. Oh, Shannon talks about the successful urge worksheet. I have a client who does one every time she has a successful urge. And she says she gets such a dopamine hit from filling out that dumb worksheet. I mean, she loves it. She said, I have printed out a bunch of them. She said, she heard Corinne say on a call, and maybe Ashley can help me with this. Is it like, Ashley, is it like 100 successful urge worksheets translate into so much weight loss or something like that? And she's like, I'm doing my successful urge worksheets. Because really, they're good things, good stuff. All right, Laura, what you got? Let's see, you're on mute. Let's unmute you. Okay. What you
Hi, how
got?
Hi. Are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's nice to talk to you. I've been listening to, like, I started listening to the podcast, I think back in like 2017 or something, and then finally made the decision to join maybe a year ago. So it's nice to finally get a chance to talk to you. So,
well, thanks. Gosh, 2017. I can't believe the podcast started that long ago. Wow.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. All these gray hairs, I guess. That's where they're coming from.
You look gorgeous.
Oh,
so don't
thank
worry.
You. Thank you.
So I have a lot of similar feelings as Shannon. I have a 2-year-old as well, and I was messaging her in the chat saying that we could definitely write that Poops and Pancakes book together, being parents of small children. So I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I am a working mother, and I'm happily married. But I also have been dealing with lots of postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, And I think I can still use the term postpartum 25 months after she was born.
I'll give it
and
to
I
you.
also, all right. And then I also started a new job about 6 months ago that requires a lot more work and a lot more sort of hands-on attention, lots more mental capacity and everything. And I love it very, very much, but I'm constantly still finding myself in the same crutch that I've had since 2017, is eating not just off plan, but just, as Corinne used to call it, pocket eat. Mm-hmm. When I'm either stressed out or anxious or not knowing what to do, my body is not hungry. My stomach is not telling me that I'm hungry. And I just keep finding myself reaching for little snacks at my desk or little things at home or eating, you know, the leftovers of what I've made for my daughter that she didn't finish. Like, all of these things I know is a stress response, but I've spent, I don't know, like 38 years almost doing this. And it's an intentional habit that I am actively trying to break. And I've also have a counselor to work through lots of the anxiety and stress that I've had. Some of it self-induced, some of it I know is an external thing, but I can't keep doing this. Like, at some point I have to really learn how to self-soothe without food. Like, if I was telling counselor years ago that instead of fight or flight, I have freeze. So I just like feel paralyzed.
I'm a freeze person. Yeah.
And it's hard to explain that sometimes to people because they're like, that doesn't really make any sense. But I genuinely just sit here feeling paralyzed. I get anxious. I get overwhelmed. I get fearful, and my brain will spiral. And then instead of doing something, I just literally do nothing. The very first anxiety attack I had, I remember sitting at my desk at work thinking, I can't breathe, but I know I'm breathing. I can't move, but yet I know I can move, but I can't process anything in my head right now. And I'm just stuck.
Yeah. So something else I've learned in my class, this was last week, is that when you are in a stress response like flight, fright, I always mess that up. Fight.
I know what you mean, though.
Freeze. Yes. Your nervous system activates and your thinking brain goes offline because you have sensed danger. When you're having your anxiety attack, when you're having your, you know, stress response, it's very possible that your nervous system goes haywire and your thinking brain goes offline. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's physiologically what's happening, and it's physiologically very normal. Your coping mechanism for that to bring yourself back online sounds like it's been eating. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just say that's very normal. All right. Because I heard Corinne say this on Sunday's call. When you're a baby, what does your mama do when you cry? Sticks a bottle in your mouth.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So why wouldn't you carry that forward if you have created that habit and you haven't worked on it before? All right. So let's just normalize that for you. Of course you eat. It's what you learned how to do ever since you were, you know, right out of the womb. Okay. You said something though that really twerked my brain a little bit. You said it was an intentional habit. Tell me what that means to you.
I know what I'm doing. I know that I am reaching for something that I don't. I know I'm reaching for something that's going to make in my habit brain feel like this is going to make me feel better. So in that respect, I know it's intentional. So I'm not coming into coaching saying I have no idea what I'm doing these moments and I have no idea how to control it. It's I know that I just need to close the drawer at my work, or I need to just not go downstairs when I'm working from home and get a snack, or I know I don't need to finish the mac and cheese that's in my daughter's lunch. Like, make the pot, give her some. She, of course, refuses it because she's a toddler, and then I'm stressed out and then I eat it. Sort of like the burning pancakes. If the burning pancakes were there, that's true. But it's intentional in that respect that I'm making a choice to eat when I know I'm not hungry. And in the back of my head, I know it's because I'm stressed and I'm trying to either soothe the stress or stop the panic or focus on something else. I don't know
But
exactly what it is. I mean,
are you making a conscious choice? Is there like a decision point in your mind, or is it totally habitual where you just open the drawer and eat?
I think it's more habitual in that
Okay,
respect.
so when does consciousness come in? Let's do this. Tell me the last time this happened.
Oh, today.
Today, and tell me what was going on. We're going to pretend we're doing a discovery worksheet here,
Okay,
Lauren.
yeah, 'cause I'm not
Okay,
very good
so
at
tell me what
post.
was going on.
So I work in student services in a university. And I had one student who had been emailing me over and over and over and over over like a 15-minute period about one issue that really is not a big issue. I know she is perceiving it in some respect as a big issue, but it isn't. And I was happy to tell her that, but it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then she was also emailing my team, the three people I supervise, and then she started calling them one by one on repeat. And I was like, I can't control the situation. And that's when I reached for like the sweets in my desk drawer.
So
And I
your
was
thought
just,
was, I can't control the situation, or was it something else?
I think it was more, I need to stop the situation. I need to get control of the situation.
Okay. And
And
that thought made you feel
panicked.
panicked. Okay. And that's when the dysregulation happened. That's when you got agitated, right? Because how does panic feel in everybody's body, right? Right.
Well, and not only that, I have people who I supervise who are coming to me and be like, I don't want to pick up my phone now because the student keeps calling you
Right.
over. And I'm like, I
Right.
know, I don't, I'm trying to figure this out too.
Right. So this happened. You can't control it. You felt panicked. You grabbed food, habitually grabbed the food. When did you notice or have the thought, I'm eating res in response to panic, or I shouldn't be eating right now, or this isn't how I'm going to lose, whatever. When did that thought come in?
Maybe about 5 minutes into it.
Okay. And what
I
did
mean,
you do then?
it doesn't take terribly long, but I do realize it eventually.
Okay, and what did you do then?
I remember telling myself, I know I don't need this. I know I'm not hungry. I know this isn't the best action for me right now. I can stop it at any time.
Okay.
Way back when Corinne did like the public Facebook lives and everything, I remember even asking her this kind of question. And I said, if I'm in the middle of a mini binge of sorts,
Let's call
what
it
do I
let's
tell
call it a
myself?
stressy. Yeah, a
Yeah,
stressy.
stressy. Yeah,
Okay.
then what's the best phrase I can use to help get myself out of it? And the thing she said was, I can stop at any time. And that thought still comes back every now and again.
Okay. So when all this happens and it's 5 minutes in and you start having the thoughts that are, I can stop at any time. I know I'm not hungry right now. Do you stop?
It
What
takes
happens
me
next?
maybe a few more minutes to eventually stop, or it gets to a point where I'll grab like one more bite or one more handful or one more
Okay.
bit of something, and then I tell myself, this is the last one.
Okay.
And at that point, I can usually get myself out of it.
Okay. So I took you through this because I want to show you. Again, this is very normal, and you have tools that you're using during the eat, right? When you start to have those thoughts, You know, I can stop at any time. This is the last one you stop. Mm-hmm. How can you introduce those thoughts a little bit sooner when you reach for food? Because we're not going to solve in this one call. We're not going to solve this, right? We're not going to, I'm not going to be able to say, if you'll just think this, when something happens, you won't eat. That's not the way this works. You have a very well-established habit to grab food when something happens. And you are combating that habit with these new thoughts that you have. So there's a win there. Because you're coming in activating thoughts that say, I know that I'm not hungry. I can stop at any time. There's one more.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, how can you shave 10 or 12 seconds off the time that you're eating? 10 or 12 seconds until you're able to actually have this happen and you go, wait, hold on. I don't need to eat right now.
Even 10 or 12 seconds would be a really helpful next step, or at least a real amount of progress that mm-hmm. I could then feel like is a tactile positive change.
Yeah.
And exactly. It's not like this old diet mentality of, oh, you're picking the bad food to binge on, or you're stress eat on, or if you just pick like dried apricots, it would be better. And that really isn't the case, because I know in the back of my mind, I do not feel hungry.
Yeah.
I feel panicked.
Yeah. The problem is not what you're eating. I feel right. It's the stress response. Yeah.
Right. And that's still the issue that I need to.
So how can you introduce those thoughts just a little bit earlier? Or maybe they are introduced a little bit earlier and it's taking, how can you shorten the time between the time the thought is introduced and the actual eating stops? Maybe that's the question.
I think if I can start catching myself sooner, like even when I make that first reach, I can tell myself, this is a stress response. I don't need to eat over this, and see if that helps nip it in the bud. My fear is that it won't. But even if I do continue, if I can catch myself less than just the 5 minutes after it starts, maybe I can start whittling that time down. Or like there have been other times that I've been able to successfully do this by, you know, drinking some water, getting up and walking around and just getting away from my desk and thinking, mm-hmm. it's fine. It's just, mm-hmm. you need to step away. Like mm-hmm. I joke mm-hmm. with one of my employees that sometimes she'll go to one of the windows, because we have like offices mm-hmm. with windows, and she'll just stand there and be a houseplant for a while and just absorb the sun for a little bit. And it's really cute. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, maybe I need to start doing some other things or try some other things that have helped. Yeah. And even if it's a mouth taste thing, maybe I can try gum instead of a food.
So what you're talking about is a pattern interrupt, which is also a really, yeah. that's a good tool to use if you're caught in the same cycle all the time, which is, it sounds like you might have a little bit of cyclical
stuff
mm-hmm. going on. Cyclical. I don't know what's wrong with my mouth today.
It all started with poops and pancakes.
I'm telling you, well, poops and pancakes is easy to say.
But and very relatable as a mother. Relatable.
My mother used to say, got my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth and couldn't see what I was saying.
So yeah, there you go. Right.
That's a little Southern for you. So you can try the pattern interrupt. You can go stand in the sunshine and be a houseplant. You can take a walk. You can try any of that. But I think, and all that is great. I think for you, the goal is to access those thoughts a little bit sooner while you're eating and lean into them and use them while you're eating to stop eating. Because ultimately that's what happens when we get into this habit cycle. We either disrupt the habit or we shorten the habit cycle. Because eventually, if you start reacting to those thoughts, your brain is going to see that you're reacting to those thoughts. Oh, wait, she's serious We really don't need to be eaten right now. Okay. And then when you start practicing those thoughts, guess what? Your brain will put them into the habit cycle so that when you have the next stress eat, it's going to offer that thought a little bit sooner. Are we sure we're hungry here? Are we sure, you know, this is what we want to be doing? And then when you react to that and you cheer yourself and go, oh yeah, no, I hear you. You're right. We're putting this down, getting back to work, going to be a houseplant for a minute, whatever it takes. Then you start shortening the amount of time the eats take until it backs up to the actual suggestion to eat. Mm-hmm. So eventually with practice and with rewiring that habit a little bit, you know, chick's going to call. She's going to call all your friends and coworkers. You're going to get panicked.
Yeah.
You're going to get a suggestion to eat and you're going to go, I'm just panicked. I should be panicked and that's okay, but I can be a houseplant instead of eat.
Yeah. Yeah. The panic can eventually turn to a productivity, but it's a pattern interrupt for panic to eat and then the panic to feeling out of control. I need to know that the panic is not necessarily me being out of control. And I think that's part of the reason why that Corinne-ism from years ago stuck with me. If I can stop this anytime, and that can be towards the stress eat, that can be towards the panic spiral, that can be towards the freezing, any of that. It's just sometimes, like you're saying, it's just hard in that moment when you're in the throes of that wave of emotion to really get through to that.
That's because of the well-worn. Have you read the book Atomic Habits?
Yes. Yes. And it's very, very, very good. I really
There's an analogy in there that I love. He talks about that sand hill and the marble at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the marble represents the habit. And the path that it takes is well-worn. And it takes effort to push the marble down the other side to create a new path. Right? It doesn't just happen overnight. A coaching call is not going to solve this for you, but what it's going to do is show you how we can shove that marble down the other side of the sandhill and create a new habit.
Right.
And that comes from responding to that thought when you hear it, closing the gap on having the thought and responding to it, because then that will start to teach your brain that we're going to try something new now.
Yeah. That's what that sounds incredibly doable, because there are times in that emotion or even afterwards when I'm trying to not be judgmental with myself, I have those thoughts of, why can't I fix this? Why can't I do this? And it's the marble with the path. It's really hard to get that path started, but it's not impossible.
No.
And that's part of the reason why a lot of this self-work is so important, because it doesn't just translate to our weight loss. It translates to all these other different things. And like not snapping at my daughter because she has tried to do potty training at a most inconvenient time. And then even then still has an accident. And that the first call just resonated with me. I was sitting here like, I wanted to lower my hand because I thought these are all the same things I'm dealing with too.
Well, I'm going to wrap this up with you by changing a couple of little words that you said, because I've already preached about how important it is what you say to yourself, right? You said it's really hard to change a habit. How's that make you feel?
Oh.
Right. It makes you feel like,
it's going to take a lot.
Yeah. But if we say it takes practice to develop a new habit, doesn't that turn the temperature down a little bit?
It makes it like an opportunity, kind of like a challenge.
Oh my goodness, right?
Yeah.
Just a couple little word tweaks. Your affect changed.
Yeah.
Just by hearing it two different ways. And we basically said the same thing. It's practice. It takes practice.
It's practice.
It feels doable when it takes practice, right?
It takes practice to change a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind me while I put that on a post-it for my planner.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for calling me up. I really do appreciate it, Kathy.
You're welcome.
It's nice to finally meet you in Zoom land.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So much fun on this call, y'all. Poops and pancakes, house plants. It's been all kinds of fun. All kinds of fun for me. So that is everyone. And we are at just beyond our hour. So I'm going to let you go. Ashley, thank you for your help. Everyone, thank you for being here. And we will see you soon. Okay. All right. Bye.